You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Good morning to you, Mike McNamara, for a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. Hope you're having a good morning, wherever you are. So, thanks for listening. Now that I'm in the movie business, that's right, the movie business. So, yeah, I make movies now. I should put that on my card, my business card. Film producer. I don't want to call it like a video either. I'm resisting that. Oh, did you make a video? No, I made a movie. Okay? A video? It's not anything as insignificant as a video. It's a movie. Yeah. So now that I'm in the movie production business... Yeah, it's moderately sobering. So all of a sudden, there you are on video, and you're like, "Holy shit! I look like hell." Yeah. So anyway, then you have to deal with lighting. You have to deal with the composition of the shot. Oh yeah, it's big stuff. It's big stuff. But let me tell you what's exciting about that. What's exciting is being able to get post-traumatic winning to all kinds of either organizations or people that can't get to it. So that's what's exciting. So as I kind of go through, go through the possibilities like in my head as I flip it over about, you know, the doors that will open, you know. So I mean, this comes about because of the COVID thing, right? I was supposed to be in Hawaii. Listen to this. I was supposed to go to Hawaii 3 different times. I mean, not like it got rescheduled and rescheduled. No, on 3 for 3 separate events. Yeah. All of it right down the tubes. This COVID shit. Thank God the Russians have found the vaccine. Yeah, did you see that? Russians officially registered the first COVID vaccine. Now, what are the odds that it's not a complete and utter lie? Well, we do know this. How do we know the Russians are lying? How do we know the Russians? Because they're right. Because their lips are moving. Yep. Because their lips are moving. So, yeah. No bueno. No bueno. So no, I mean, what the hell? I hope it's right, but I don't have any faith that it is. You know, it's like you know, all of a sudden, China is they were the ones making all the masks and protective gear, and then all of a sudden it gets here, and we find out that it's shit. Well, there's a shocker, right? Nobody saw that one coming. So anyway, the Russians. I mean, this stuff is clown stuff. But anyway, back to me and the possibilities and the movies and post-traumatic winning. So it's extremely cool and really exciting as I continue to develop it. And so then I think, okay, so now I've got to have different products, because post-traumatic winning plays a little bit different. And depending on who the audience is. So if it's an audience of individuals, then post-traumatic winning, you know, is one thing. And then so when you say, okay, well, how does this apply to you? And you talk about it as them as individuals. If you talk post-traumatic winning to an organization, you know, it's like, okay, how does this apply to you if you're a leader, and how does it apply to the organization? That's a little bit different. So you have kind of modules that you push in and stick out, pull out, right, of the presentation as you present it. So you'd make different versions of the movie. Of the movie, that's right. Post-traumatic winning. I don't know. I give it some subtitle. So, that's pretty but again, the exciting part is let me read you an email that I got this morning. So I'm minding my own business, right? Just getting ready to get my day going. And I'm looking at Joe, who's looking at me wagging his tail because he loves me, right? Joe, the wonder dog. Sometimes it's not so wonderful. So anyway, I'm looking at Joe. And my phone does something. I don't know if it did anything, but I look, I see the mail icon, as in like envelope, right, for Gmail. So I thought, well, let me see who's emailing me. So here's the email. And I talk about how cool it is to be me. I mean, I'm not bullshitting when I say that. Mac, we've secured funding to bring you, and I won't tell you who this is, right? Whenever this COVID fiasco and DOD travel restriction passes, I'm thinking early 21. And he says, here, we use post-traumatic winning to reinforce our Marine Mindset Program to instill resiliency in junior Marines. This year, we experienced a wave of junior Marines with suicidal ideations, anxiety, and depression. By my count, the number was at least 27 young devil dogs with some sort of mental illness or extreme life stressors. Post-traumatic winning helps save Marines from destroying themselves. It really does. Your service is unique and valuable. Thank you for what you do, Mac. So again, like, I'm just like getting out of bed, getting ready to start my day, and that, right, that bombs into my inbox. And you know, now when I end the show, one of the things I always say, go change somebody's life today. And I'm telling you, if you will download those three goals and 10 commandments, and you won't be afraid. Here's another thing. Oh man, Seattle City Council votes to cut the police, and the chief of police in Seattle resigns. Wow. Let me just tell you, watch the stupidity that ensues in these cities. I don't get it. I don't think the majority of people in those cities, you know, support that. And so it's just amazing, this shit that we're watching. And the sad part is innocent people are going to die. It's not going to be the people, you know, the city council people who are living, you know, wherever the hell they live, that are going to pay the price for this stupidity. So, anyway, So back to my train of thought. Okay, so if you'll download those 3 goals and 10 commandments to your phone, and you won't be afraid to ask 2 questions. Right? Could I talk to you? And you know there's nothing wrong with you, right? That begins the conversation. Now, I was having an interesting conversation before I digressed. And one of the biggest problems that people have, I think, and I don't think like this, but other people do, and so what they say is, I'm not really an expert. Like, I'm nobody to help anybody. And what I try to explain to them is, you don't need to be an expert to help somebody. Okay? You can be an expert. I mean, you can just be a consumer and you can share this with other people, right? Like, if you were cooking and you had a really good recipe, would you share it? Well, yeah. So you would share that knowledge with somebody else to make their life better. Well, yeah. How about this? If you found a new grade of gasoline that could help you get 80 miles to the gallon, would you share that with people? Well, yeah. Are you an expert in engines? Well, no. What do you know? Well, you know it works, right? Yes. Okay. And you know it's safe and it's not going to harm your car. Yes. Uh-oh. Headline, scientist skeptical of Putin vaccine claim. You think? Dr. Evil doing his thing? So anyway, but that's an issue. Well, what happens if they look at me and say, well, you could never understand, right? You've never been through what I've been through. If you've listened to the program, right, all you have to do is be honest and say, well, yeah, I know that. I didn't go through what you went through, but here's what I went through. Or I may not have gone back through anything. But you can just be, and so if you're willing to be honest, and it doesn't matter, if you've been through a lot of trauma, you say, well, I know mine wasn't exactly identical to yours, but this is what I went through, and it's helped me, and so I thought I might just show it to you. If you haven't been through anything, then you just say that, like, yeah, you know, you're right, I haven't been through that. But, you know, I saw this, and I talked to a friend who, you know, went through this, and they said it really helped them. So I started looking at it. I found it really interesting. So I just thought I'd show it to you. So, but again, this notion that you have to be an expert to help somebody, I think is nonsense. The things that you find in post-traumatic winning are blue-collar mental health things. I've never had anybody, and I've given this in front of, I don't know, over 50,000 people. I've never had anybody write me an email and say, hey, I'd really like to take issue with your, you know, your 10 commandments. I think this are bullshit. I've never had anybody do that. I've never had anybody take me to task on that kind of stuff. And so, so I think being an advocate is kind of interesting. You know, but a lot of people feel that way. Well, what do I say if they attack you? Well, you probably want to stop the conversation because they're not, like, ready to receive what you're offering. But, you know, I would tell them, here, man, I just want to show you this. Let me show you a website, and I just think you should check it out. And so, I think you offer that. And you don't have to be an expert, right? You don't have to be an expert. Would you not offer a great mechanic that you met because, you know, you're not a mechanic? No, you would say, hey, man, you should check this out. So anyhow, yeah, so making the movie, and it's not really a movie. It's the video. The movie is it's me narrating. So it's kind of a documentary of the presentation, and then at start me introducing it. Now, what it will grow into is that I will do more of those things, right? So dissolve from that to me, you know, talking about something, and then back to the presentation. So that's what it will be in a more mature form. But I have to get this finished today and get it sent out to Hawaii, where they will watch it for the Pacific Air Force Squadron Commanders Conference. So, yeah, how about that? So they'll be the first ones to see the movie, So I'm excited about that. So that's what I've been working on. And the big challenge is time. Post-traumatic winning, as it has grown over the last 20 months, is dense. There's no wiggle room in there, man. It's like sardines packed into a can. And it's so rich with stuff, right? And the more I do it, the more that stuff that, you know, I find that I want to put in the presentation. But, yeah, it's saturated. The thing's, like, so dense. So, anyway, that's the big challenge, is doing it in the amount of time that you're allotted. And then, you know, say 2.5 hours. Well, if there's an introduction for, say, 5 to 10 minutes, and there's two breaks, how long are the breaks going to be? 5 minutes? 10 minutes? So if there are 10-minute breaks, there's 5 to 10 minutes for the intro and a 10-minute break every hour. So that's 2.5 hours. That means a half hour of the 2.5 is not me. So it means I have 2 hours to present this content. That's a challenge. I'm not going to lie to you. It's a challenge. When I do the whole thing in long format, it's 4 hours long. Yeah. Long format, 4 hours long. So what I intend to do is do that version and do one for individuals in long format and one for organizations in long format. And so those will be two standalone products. And then I'll do a shorter version that would fit in probably a 2.5 hour time block. And then say, hey, look, you can watch this, you know, on my website, or if you put in this number because you've been at this presentation, blah, 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 blah. This presentation, you'll see, you know, you'll see an additional 2 hours of content, right? So it allows me to go deeper and be broader in terms of the way I treat different things. So, overall, I guess my point in all of this is pretty exciting stuff that really the COVID thing has forced on all post-traumatic winning. So I'm excited about it. Yeah. The next thing I'll tell you is I went and had lunch at a place on the Pacific Coast Highway yesterday that I had never been to in my life. And so the place is called the Shack Shake. And I'll tell you what, I've lived in this area for off and on for a long time. That thing has been there forever. It's a landmark on the Pacific Coast Highway. So if you go to Newport Beach and then you head south along the coast and you kind of go by Corona Del Mar, you go past Newport Coast area where Kobe Bryant lived, and then you're down, it's just beautiful drive, you're headed towards Laguna Beach along the coast. And on the coast side, the water side of the Pacific Coast Highway, there's nothing. There's no business there except this thing. I don't know when it got put in there, but it's right at Crystal Cove. and it's been there forever, the Shack Shake. So I went and had lunch there yesterday. Met a friend there. And looking at the menu, burgers, shakes, and then they're open for breakfast as well. And I think that's how they stayed in business, serving surfers breakfast for decades. So anyhow, it says bacon, lettuce, tomato, avocado sandwich. I'm like, that looks good. All right. And you're overlooking the Pacific Ocean. This is beautiful. So let me just tell you, if you're looking for a good sandwich on sourdough bread, if you're looking for a good sandwich, Shack Shake, the BLT with avocado kills it. Absolutely, positively kills it. Yeah. Email. When will the movie be out? Well, my life has been consumed by the movie. So, for instance, there's people, you know, that have been fans of and huge supporters of Auburn Radio. Bob Nielsen's never seen it. I mean, he's heard about it, but he's never seen the presentation. So, I mean, I need to, you know, Nancy up in Pennsylvania. Nancy's been an awesome supporter of the program. Bev up in Saskatchewan, she's never seen it. Jack Riley, he's never seen it. I mean, for God's sakes, he's one of the patron saints of it. So there's a whole bunch of people. Libby's never seen it, right? She's been a huge part of this thing. So there's a lot of people that, you know, that have been are incredible supporters of Post-Matic Winning and All Marine Radios, yet they've never seen this. And so that's what I'm excited about is you know, is doing that. And then the format for this thing I'll do with the Pacific Air Force is I will, you know, they'll see the movie. I'll build the breaks in. And then I'll join after it's over. I'll connect via Zoom. And we'll do a question and answer thing via Zoom. Yeah. So, yeah, got that going for me. And so it'll be kind of an interesting little experience. Now, I had to decide, like, so when I open this thing, right? And I'm hopeful that I've told you the story of Stacy Falzerano. And her husband died of a massive heart attack in May. She saw Post, 45 years old, at their home on a treadmill. And, you know, picture of health, Air Force officer, colonel, brigadier general select, blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, her world's upside down. They have 5 kids. So anyway, Stacy reached out to me and said, hey, I saw your presentation in February when you did it. And so I'm hopeful Stacy will do the introduction. Yeah, how cool would that be? And so all I need to do is record audio with her. So hopefully, you know, these Air Force squadron commanders, lieutenant colonels, and whatnot will be there. I don't know if their spouses will be there. That normally is the way those things work. And so, so the introduction by Stacy of, hey, you probably saw this in the news. This is who I am. This is what I've been through. And I just want you to know that this is a thing that I've had in my head. What this yo-yo said. And then to be able to come behind that and say to them, hey, look, first of all, how humbling, I mean, it is to think that something I would say could help somebody like Stacy. I mean, how cool am I, right? Am I not the coolest kid on the playground? Yeah, you bet your ass I am. But the good news is what I'm going to show you here in the next couple hours is all the tools for you to be as cool as me, for you to change people's lives in the same way. And if you're a leader, this is what leaders are supposed to do. And so to be able to start it with the power of something like that that comes out of the Air Force to me is pretty cool. So, but I had to make a decision, like, okay, so when I'm going to do this, like what do I use for a set? like, do I put on a suit and sit there? So where do I film it? So do I film it in the studio with my monitors in the background and the microphones and the headsets and all that kind of stuff? Nah, I was like, that's kind of lame. And so I thought, why don't I just do it in my backyard? Towards evening, right? So you don't have the harsh sunlight pounding on your ass, making you look uglier than you already are. So, yeah, I did a couple of versions of it last night, and they're under further review right now. And so, yeah, so the uniform, what am I wearing? A hooded sweatshirt and a pair of shorts and my flip-flops. Yeah. So I say, hey, buddy, I'm Mike McNamara, and welcome to Post-Traumatic Wedding. And I'll tell you what was funny last night was at one point Jack walks on the wall behind me, and you see him go through the shot, which is awesome. So I don't know if I can get him to do that tonight when I do the real one, but we shall see. We shall see if I can get him to do it. But no, it was good. But again, how do you want to come across? Do you want to come across as some, you know, I don't want to say uptight dude, because, you know, people that wear suits are, you know, they tend not to be uptight. But there's a certain way you want to come across, and the way I try to come across in all of this is not the way we normally do this. That's what I aim, is that this is a little bit different. His whole approach to this is different. It's ordinary. It's blue collar. It's the truth. And I constantly try to reinforce that. So, so the whole trip into the world of video, which I haven't done much of, is going to be pretty interesting. So I'm excited about it. Yeah, and a chance to deliver it to people that in other, you know, might never see it otherwise. So, we're going to talk to Will Cosentini today. We're going to do a little news dissection. Tim Lynch told me nobody dissects the news better than Will Cosentini. I'm like, really? Nobody? So William's going to join me, and I'm interested, in case you don't know, in this whole issue surrounding the Navy and money. And Will worked in what's known as the E-ring, and I'll get him to explain that, at the Pentagon, which is like the executive level. So they have the windows. So anyway, there was a story that caught my attention last week. So during a confirmation hearing for essentially nobody, right? I'll read you a quick headline. During his confirmation hearing today to serve as the Pentagon's Director of Cost Assessment and Program Evaluation Office, known as CAPE, right? So again, this is like nothing, right? John Whitley told the Senate Armed Service Committee that the Secretary of Defense was worried the Navy shipbuilding plan was not realistic. The Pentagon still has not submitted a legally mandated shipbuilding blueprint to lawmakers this year, because Secretary of Defense Mark Esper felt the Navy had not developed a credible pathway to achieving a 355-ship fleet, the nominee to lead a top Pentagon office said today. Quote, so this is what caught my eye. Quote, I think one of the challenges we had with the president's budget submission and why we did not submit the 30-year shipbuilding plan was because it did not have a credible pathway to get there. What? Yeah, and again, this is John Whitley. He's a person that's going to be in charge of the Cost Assessment and Program Evaluation Office. So he's essentially the reconciliation agent, right? You say you're going here, you devoted this much money, let's look at all these little line items you have in here, and let's make sure everything lines up so this is a credible path. So, Whitley goes on. It assumes resource constraints for 5 years and then assumed there were no resource constraints. And what the secretary was concerned about was that was not a credible document to send to you. Whitley goes on, the Secretary of Defense believes it is a number north of 355. That is what the Navy should be, right? So it's a number greater than 355, he goes on. And so what he has tasked the Navy and CAPE to do, and what I would do if confirmed, Senator, would be working with the Navy to get a credible path to a number as quickly as possible that's north of 355. Now, this is the interesting part of all this. While Navy officials have advocated for a 355 ship fleet since releasing the document in 2016, the objective has not led to increases in the service's top-line budget. The Navy's 30-year shipbuilding plan, which shows the number and types of ships the service projects buying each year, usually accompanies the annual budget request. But the Pentagon sparked criticism from lawmakers earlier this year when it did not present the long-term outlook to Congress. Separately, the Navy and the Marine Corps last year launched an integrated naval force assessment initiative meant to evaluate the quantity and types of battle force ships needed for their plans to integrate Navy-Marine fights in the future. After the Department of Defense held up the release of the 30-year plan to Congress, and the Navy had not unveiled the new plan yet, Esper told the House Armed Service Committee in February that he needed time to review the various shipbuilding assessments and wanted to use analytical work from the Navy, CAPE, and external think tanks to produce one cohesive strategy. After Esper made that announcement, the Pentagon has taken over work on shipbuilding outlook in an effort called the Future Navy Force Study. Whitley declined to address the potential force mix and how many aircraft carriers the new CAPE analysis could require for the Navy. Quote, what I can say, Senator, is what I've seen. And this was driven really by the Navy's analysis, and I think my understanding of CAPE's analysis concurred with it, which is that we made the move to a more distributed fleet, a more survivable fleet, a more lethal fleet, he said. I think those are the key attributes that will be guiding the analyses, plural, that are underway right now. So with all that said, we're going to get Will on to explain some of that stuff. All right. So, and again, what is the impact if that's not a credible way and that, I mean, you can imagine. So we assume constraints for 5 years. Well, what happens if there's constraints for 30 years? What's the implication? What are we going to get to? And then what happens to the Marine Corps that's looking for a ship to be designed, approved, and funded to complete General Berger's plan? The Berger plan, if you will. So we'll get Will on to talk to us about that. Good morning to you on a Tuesday morning. Welcome to the Movie Production Center of All Marine Radio and Post-Medic Wing. That's right. Your executive producer of this event is Michael Francis McNamara. And good morning on a Tuesday. The United States Marine Corps band makes this morning official. this is dedicated to the movie production people that I'm working with. So all the people that have given me advice about making videos and how to make them decent. So it's been an interesting experience. And I appreciate all the help people have given me.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Just so you know, that's where the post-traumatic winning thing came from. Up late, November of 2018. Not sure why I was watching the birthday video, because I'm not generally that motivated. I was watching it because I wanted to see what Neller had to say. So the video was shot in Guadalcanal, on the island of Guadalcanal. Home of some pretty heroic shit done by the Marines and sailors of the 1st Marine Division in 1942. Big battle there. So, yeah, we got to win. So I heard that. I was like, that's it. That's the name, post-traumatic winning. Now it's becoming the thing. So anyhow. All right, time for us to check the weather. I'm not sure if I updated the temperature, so let me do that. Currently sunny in 84 in Quantico, Virginia. Down the coast at Camp Lejeune, it is mostly sunny in 87. In 29 Palms, sunny in 88. Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton, cloudy in 65. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dawn breaking, cloudy in 72 degrees. Camp Butler on Okinawa, dark, cloudy in 84. In the Helmand Province of Lashkar Gah, it is Evening, clear in 91, so cooled off in Afghanistan a little bit and Iraq the same way. It is sunny late in the afternoon and 100 degrees right now in the western part of Iraq. That is a look. Oh, no, it's not. Currently in the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California, where it's been absolutely spectacular, it is mostly cloudy and 76 degrees. That's right. 5% chance of rain through 9 o'clock this morning. Please don't even bother me with that. So look for a high of 76 today, 78 tomorrow, 82 on Thursday, 86 on Friday, and 85 on Saturday. So a little bit of warming trend. So into the mid-80s we'll go later on this week. Otherwise, weather been pretty mild throughout the summer here on the west coast of the United States. We will take a break. We'll check some news headlines when we come back, head up for the top of the hour, and a little bit of news dissection with Will Costantini. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit veteranscrisisline.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good,
are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255. And press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Colleen headed to check out some colleges in Northern California today. Yeah. Colleen, becoming a woman. Yeah. So good luck to her. All right, to the news we go. We're going to do the news a little bit different. Normally I do the top five stories in Early Bird last, but today I'm going to do them first. Okay? So we'll start the top stories according to Early Bird. All right, number one. Retiring Command Master Sergeant of the Air Force, Wright, talks candidly about the future of the Air Force, his George Floyd post, and the Enlisted Jesus memes. I didn't know Enlisted Jesus memes. So, yeah, he made he and General Dave Goldfein were pretty visible in the days after the George Floyd murder. And he's pretty frank about, you know. But I will tell you, a lot of people took issue with some of the stuff he said, you know, when he said, you know, I am George Floyd. You know, a lot of the pushback was, no, you're not. You know, when the police arrived, you know, you'd cooperate. And so, anyway, so not without controversy, right? Not without controversy. And so, to me, it's guys like that that got to get involved in this national discussion. Right? And the first thing in order to have the discussion you got to do is you got to learn about what is the truth. And so where is this problem? And it's not as simple as people want to make it out to be. So, pretty long article about him. And he said, you know, it pains him to see the things that they didn't get done and would wish they certainly, like everybody laments, wished he had more time to do the things that did not get done. Next article is about Michelle Flournoy. And she is a candidate to be evidently the Secretary of Defense if Joe Biden were to become the president. So, headline, Flournoy, next defense secretary needs big bets to boost eroding deterrence. The next Secretary of Defense must be prepared to invest heavily in game-changing technology, even if it comes at the cost of existing capabilities, in order to maintain a credible deterrent for China and Russia, according to former Pentagon official Michelle Flournoy. Our ability to deter it's not gone, but it's an eroding asset. Flournoy, who is seen as a top contender for the job of Secretary of Defense should Joe Biden win, said at the Aspen Security Forum on August 6th, we've got to pay. You know what? That's a really good forum, and I'll go through it. Let me make a note, and we'll get a couple of interviews that have done. So normally the format is the panelists like this would speak, and then there's a Q&A. We've heard John Kelly there, Joe Dunford there. So, let me see what I can mine out of that thing. She goes on, we've got to pay attention to making sure that we attend to that and invest in needed capabilities. I think there's sort of two parallel efforts that have to happen. One is investments that may take a decade to be fully realized and integrated into the force. Another is the question of what can we do in the next 5 years with what we have, use it differently, she explained. And that requires that what she terms big bets that may take a while to come to fruition, but which need investment in the near term to get moving. So what does that mean? Defense budgets were probably going to flatten in the coming years, no matter who wins the election. That means you have to make trade-offs, and you have to make hard decisions, which means you probably need to buy fewer legacy forces in order to invest in the technologies that will actually make the force that you keep more relevant, more survivable, more combat effective, and better able to underwrite deterrence. While noting there's a whole laundry list of future technologies on which to make big bets, she highlighted two she considers particularly important. The first is a network of networks for secure communications as well as command and control that can survive an attack from any domain space, air, naval, land, and cyberspace that China could seek to use. Now, I would tell you this. When I talk to people, you know, my question is, in the command and control environment, once the satellites get, once we zap each other's satellites, then what happens? Now, I've asked that for a long time. Somebody gave me an answer last weekend. They said, yeah, then we're back to Vietnam-era communications. Once the satellites are done, we can't regenerate them. I said, oh, really? And they said, yeah. That's why space is such an important domain. So the article goes on. This is quoting Michelle Flournoy. We need a command and control system that is powered by artificial intelligence to enable the kind of resilience in a much more contested environment. The second greater investment in unmanned systems in order to augment manned capabilities. China has created a set of threat rings that are very, very lethal places for U.S. forces to go. We want to augment our manned forces with unmanned systems that are still controlled by human beings, but that dramatically improve our ability to project power to defend an interest or an ally who's under threat. Now, for instance, you know, if you want to take the South China Sea, right, your first forays into that would all be unmanned. Unmanned ships, right, unmanned aviation platforms, and they would do the heavy destruction, right? And so if they get whacked, who cares, right? Just a machine. And then, you know, you would follow that as you degrade their ability to contest that environment. You would then go ahead and begin to use more manned systems if you need to. So anyhow, but again, manned aviation is going to be not so much in the future. So interesting, I thought an interesting article, right? Interesting article, because the whole artificial intelligence and unmanned assets, as well as command and control, those are big, big questions when you're talking about peer competition. So, I think very, very interesting stuff. Number three, State Department says Pompeo cleared an emergency Saudi arms. A final report signed by the acting inspector general found the Secretary of State Mike Pompeo did not violate the law when he declared a state emergency to bypass congressional refusal to approve an $8 billion arms sale to Saudi Arabia, the State Department said on Monday. Kind of interesting. Washington Post story. Describing an ongoing congressional investigation of Pompeo's actions as an inquisition, a department statement called for lawmakers to publicly accept the findings of the report and the IG and immediately retract statements labeling it illegal. The report was not publicly released or transmitted to House Democrats, who asked the Inspector General to investigate the matter last summer. A senior State Department official who briefed reporters said its release was imminent. House Foreign Affairs Committee Chair Elliot Engel, noting that the official briefer was not a member of the Inspector General's office, said that, quote, this obvious pre-spin of the findings reeks of an attempt to distract and mislead. Democrats have alleged that Pompeo sought the ouster of Inspector General Steve Linick, who was fired by President Trump in May because Linick was investigating Pompeo's actions on the arms sale, as well as the allegations that he had used State Department staff to conduct personal errands for he and his wife. Pompeo denied all that. So anyway, State Department IG says, yeah, he didn't do anything wrong. Next story, number four. Here's the current U.S. plan to build up Syrian proxies, including an oil field guard force. Ruh-roh. Who's that going to be? Are we going to rent somebody? This is by Kyle Rempler, longtime writer in Army Times. So here's the plan. Operation Inherent Resolve officials want to double the size of some proxy forces in Syria and finish training a 2,200-man oil field guard unit in the northeastern part of the country, according to the Operation Inherent Resolve Inspector General Report, released on August 4th. Interesting. The IG report came as an agreement was made between a Delaware-based firm called Delta Crescent and a Kurdish-led authorities in Syria to develop and export crude oil in areas under their control. Syria's foreign ministry called the arrangement an illegal deal aimed at stealing Syrian oil. Well, if you don't control part of your country, I don't recall them. Did they issue similar statements when ISIS was stealing their oil? Probably they did. Although U.S.-backed Syrians have bolstered their security presence near major oil and gas fields in northeastern Syria, they have remained co-located with coalition forces whose protection Syrian Democratic Force leaders still depend on, the IG force said. So the Oilfield Guard Force is under the PRISF. Hold on, what is PRISF? Provisional Security Forces. So, the Critical Petroleum Infrastructure Security that protects sites in northeastern Syria still number 2,200 force once it's fully manned. The Oilfield Guard Force is under PRISF, Provisional Security Forces, which undertake a broad range of broader security tasks as well as security at ISIS prison sites. The PRISF have a desired end strength of about 22,000, but it is not clear how close they are to reaching such a goal. Dates on those end strength targets are not included in the report, and the Operation Inherent Resolve officials did not respond. So that in the news. Syria, which we haven't really focused on, been a little bit preoccupied with domestic stuff. Number five, U.S. troops may not get priority of COVID-19 vaccines after all. And that comes from the director of Operation Warp Speed, right, which is the whole of government effort to develop and distribute a safe and effective immunization, unlike what the Russians will do, which is we'll inoculate you with anything just so we can say we did. And then as, you know, people get sick and die and all the rest of that nonsense, they'll say, what? Well, that happens with every, that's not a very good Russian accent, but you get the drift. That happens with every vaccine. Come on. Everybody's just hating because we're Russians. There is some truth to that. Despite, the article says this, despite early indications from government officials that the military, the elderly, and other groups would get a priority, Dr. Moncrief Salih said he is in the opening stages of organizing an independent scientific summit to make recommendations on vaccine distribution with the goal of keeping politics out of the decision. In an August 6th American Enterprise Institute podcast, Dr. Salih said he has been in discussions with Dr. Francis Collins, head of the National Institute of Health, on arranging a scientific summit. It's a super important question. It's a critical question. And I can tell you, first, we decide who should not do it. Whoa. That's very important. I think this should not be politically motivated. Well, come on, you think? But isn't everything politically motivated now? Can somebody actually do something that's not politically motivated? Two other stories that impact the Marine Corps. One is a Marine recruiter drowned in a river during physical fitness training. Sergeant Andre Armstrong, 26, from Jackson, Mississippi, was walking trails in the area when he and four others decided to swim in the river. Ugh. At some point, he began to struggle, and despite the efforts of four others with him, he remained under the water. You know what? I grew up in Sacramento, and the Sacramento River runs through there, and I was never a fan of going in that son of a bitch. All I read was bad stuff about that river. And I'm not a big fan of river swimming. So anyway, one more story. This story was updated today. Marine AAV water operations suspension is still ongoing. A spokesman for the Marine Corps told USNI News today that the pause of water operations remains in effect. This suspension does not apply to land-based training or regular maintenance of the vehicles, Captain Monica Witt said in a statement. There is no specific timeline associated with the suspension as the investigation into the mishap is ongoing. General Berger announced the suspension on July 31st. While a flag officer may issue an exception to water operations suspension, which said on Monday that officials have yet to grant any waivers. So anyway, all right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Will Cosentini is going to join us here on a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio. So don't touch that dial. He's a smart guy. You'll enjoy the discussion. And what I'm, you know, Will is an E-ring guy at the Pentagon And so we'll talk to him about CAPE, explaining that and the implications of this. Because when you talk about the Navy, I mean, that footnote to that assumption, right, that fiscal constraints will only be in effect for the next 5 years. And beyond that, this assumes that there is nothing. Yeah, that means that your shipbuilding plan. And again, that's a big deal. So we'll take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.